I think these things are what's going to help the profession and get rid of some of the minutiae of the audit process so they can focus on what's important.
Let's get back at it, shall we? Welcome to, episode 89. Wow, future proof. I'm Bill, I'm your host. You know what? Let me get this out of the way right out of the gate this week. This week's show is brought to you by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses, dozens of instructors, unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. Now, time to check back in with blockchain. We did a whole show on blockchain a while back. I spoke with Ron Quaranta. Tried to say that five times fast. Ron, he's the founder and chairman of the Wall Street Blockchain Alliance. And we had that conversation all the way back in episode 12. That was when the hype around blockchain was just literally almost sky high. It was supposed to, you know, transform our profession, right? Many professions, in fact. It seemed back then like there was no problem that couldn't potentially be solved through the use of blockchain technology. And now, well, things have cooled off a little bit. Here's evidence. For the past couple of years, Tom Hood, CEO of the Maryland Association of CPAs and the Business Learning Institute, he's taken futurist Daniel Burris's list of the top 20 technology-driven hard trends shaping our world. And then what he did was he asked more than 1,000 CPAs and finance and accounting professionals which of those trends will have the greatest impact on our profession over the next 3 years. Now, 2 years ago, blockchain came in at number 6. Last year, it fell to number 9. Really, though, that's not too surprising, right? Especially if you're familiar with Gartner's hype cycle. That's a graphic representation of the maturity and adoption of new technologies. And it says most new technologies, they go through these natural peaks and valleys. Specifically, they hit what Gartner calls the peak of inflated expectations. And that's when the hype is really high and everyone has great hopes for all the problems these new technologies might help solve. Then, when the initial hype dies down, these new technologies enter what Gartner calls the trough of disillusionment. And this is when people start to kind of lose faith in these new technologies, when they don't immediately deliver on all the promised results, right? Experiments and implementations start to fail and they fail to deliver and interest kind of dissipates. What's really interesting is that it's while these technologies are in that trough of disillusionment that most of the groundbreaking work is being done, because soon after that, what happens is that many new technologies enter what Gartner calls the slope of enlightenment. And this is where Gartner writes, more instances of how the technology can benefit the enterprise start to crystallize and become more widely understood. Second and third generation products appear from technology providers. They start to pick up traction here, in other words. So it would appear that blockchain is now in Gartner's trough of disillusionment, which makes it a really exciting time as far as I'm concerned, because this is when the pretenders start to fall by the wayside and the people who are actually going to make this technology useful start to emerge. So I think now is the perfect time to keep your eye on blockchain, because you may be seeing some really interesting applications start to emerge in the not too distant future. In fact, one of the areas where almost every expert out there says will be significantly disrupted by blockchain technology is the audit. And everyone's been waiting for that disruption to happen, but they might not have long to wait. PwC Switzerland, they just announced last month that it is bringing a smart contract audit firm named Chain Security in-house to bolster its blockchain-related audit abilities. So, you know, blockchain, it's still a thing. People in our profession are still very, very interested in how it might transform what we do. And one of them is my guest this week. He is Keith Nichols. Keith is general manager for small to mid-sized firms with Thomson Reuters. Keith's an interesting guy. He previously was Thomson Reuters Managing Director for Government, which meant that he had significant say in the global strategy and the business operations of the government practice with the tax and accounting business at Thomson Reuters. And that meant he was recognizing blockchain's potential to disrupt things like government tax transactions, for instance, and land registries and things like that. He's been watching blockchain for a while now, and he's got some pretty interesting insights into the real potential of blockchain and how it might impact this profession once it starts edging out of that trough of disillusionment. So good stuff this week. Great reminders that blockchain isn't going anywhere. In fact, you may want to pay even more attention today because things could be getting interesting real, real soon. So here, without further ado, is my conversation with Keith Nichols. So Keith, thanks for joining me today. Blockchain, let's talk a little bit about blockchain. It's been kind of high on the hype cycle for years now, it seems like, but seemingly without a whole lot of tangible examples of how it's being used in the accounting and finance world, at least. Just recently, that seems to be changing. I've noticed a couple of things, seen a couple of news items. I guess my question is blockchain now, do you think, starting to live up to its hype? What's going on?
Yeah, it's a great question, and thanks for having me. I think, you know, I always describe blockchain to people. It's sort of like, you know, the hype and everything that goes around. It's to me, it was sort of this sort of almost like religious experience. You know, like a few years ago when I first started reading about blockchain, I was like, wow, this is the next internet. This is so big. Why isn't anybody else seeing this? Like, why? You know, and I started reading as much as I possibly could and learning more and more about it and getting more like, why isn't this catching on? Like, this has got to be the next, you know, big thing. And then it becomes this, you know, you start, you know, and part of the religious piece is then you start evangelizing to the people, you start boring people at dinner parties about it. And you're like, why? here's what blockchain is. Here's why it's amazing. And then try to explain it at a high level without getting into, you know, the crypto hash and all the other stuff that goes along with that. But now I think it's, to answer your more specific question, is I think now people, you know, people like me and others and articles that have been published around it have kind of broken down that, you know, got away from Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, mm-hmm. the cryptography that goes along with it, all the things that make it complicated, and it started getting into real world business applications. And I think people just now understand it a little bit better. And so I think it's gaining traction and people are asking questions around how can I, you know, change my business model with blockchain? How can I take advantage of the efficiencies of blockchain versus the question of will blockchain work or what is it? I don't need Bitcoin. It's speculative. I think that just from the hype cycle and again, evangelists out there talking about it and then making it easier for people to understand, I think has created some of the hype is kind of becoming reality now. People aren't looking at, you know, how do I just make money off of this? They're looking at, again, how do I take advantage of this in my business? How do I take advantage of the efficiencies? How do I take advantage of all of the benefits that a distributed ledger technology brings to an ecosystem? So I think 3 years ago, I probably would have said, hey, we're on the cusp just because I was so enthusiastic about, wow, this is a game changing thing. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the realization of it is it's taking longer. But as you mentioned, there's a lot of money in being invested in this, specifically in fintech. Now it's starting to go into healthcare. Governments are starting to look at this much more closely. So I think we are on that precipice where we're going to start seeing a lot more of this being mainstream in the next 3 to 5 years.
And what kind of, I mean, one of the things that we've been kind of telling CPAs when they ask us about blockchain is, and let me know if we're way off base here, but it seems to me that it's less important that they know how blockchain works and just more important for them to know what the impact of it is and what, you know, what it can allow them to do. Is that true?
I think so. Like I said, I think that's where a lot of the original hype that I mentioned is people got lost in the technology And they in our profession, specifically in accounting, we already know what ledgers are. I mean, just the fact that it's distributed ledgers and people can kind of understand the benefit of having, you know, immutable transactions in the audit world and having everything, you know, real time. I think people understand the basics of it, specifically in our profession. I think that's where you're right, is people need to focus on what are the benefits of it to me and my profession in the accounting world, and then what things are not going to be done by humans in the future. You know, low level audit stuff. What does that mean for my education? What does that mean for, you know, what I should be paying attention to as an auditor or a tax professional? Those are the types of things that they need to understand. They don't need to get lost in the weeds of how it works. I think that's where we are, is people know it works now, and it's going to get better and faster, and there's going to be a lot more companies using it. So CPAs need to just adapt to, okay, here's how my world changes, and here's the type of work I need to be focused on now because of that.
Yeah, and one of the areas you mentioned audit, and we'll get to audit here in a couple of seconds. So it's gonna one of the areas I wanted to touch on initially that experts were saying early on would be impacted by blockchain is tax. I think it was the World Economic Forum predicted a couple of years ago that blockchain technology could be used to collect taxes within the next decade. How do you think blockchain could disrupt a government's role in the tax process?
Well, this is one of those, again, a few years ago when I was, you know, more in the evangelist stage of this, this is one of the things that like scared me as a provider of tax software, tax compliance software. I was like, wow, this is the business that's going to get disintermediated. This is the business that's going to be the buggy whip when the cars came around. We're not going to be around anymore, because if you can collect tax, if you have the ability to see every single transaction that a company makes or an individual makes, you can collect tax through smart contracts at the point of profit without having to do a tax return to reconcile that at the end of the day. So this is one of the things that I mean, it's absolutely governments could collect tax using blockchain technologies. And that's one of the things that kind of slows the adoption, though, is governments are slow moving, highly regulated, but you'll see some governments doing it. I think you'll start to see it in areas that are highly transactional, i.e. sales and use tax, you know, where big corporations have to file sales tax returns in 4,000 plus jurisdictions in this country every month. Whereas if you start seeing states start adopting blockchain technology to collect tax more in real time without having to reconcile through a tax return, I think you'll just see efficiencies in the system, both for the governments and the corporations and the businesses doing that type of thing. I think we're a long ways off from corporate tax, you know, and individual tax returns going away just because of the regulation and the slow moving piece of government. But at the local level of collecting, you know, this transaction tax, think of telecom taxes, all these things that require a heavy audit or a heavy reconciliation through a tax return. I think we'll start seeing things like that in the not too distant future, at least being explored by governments, because it can take out a lot of friction in the system. I mean, that's the big, huge benefit of blockchain, is it takes out a lot of the friction in a financial system.
Are there any examples that you can point to at this point of how governments are kind of taking advantage of the technology?
I mean, one of the classic ones it's easy to point to, but I used to be heavily involved in this business with Thomson Reuters is government and property tax and land rights. You know, governments across the world are looking at this. It's a classic blockchain use case to you know, have a piece of property and who owns it and the history of that property registered on a blockchain, that you can see the value of it. The government values that property and then levies taxes against that property. That can all be transparent, immutable, reduce corruption, especially in third world countries that have a lot of conflict over who owns land. And I think once governments start realizing, you know, the country of Georgia is big into this, Sweden has also done some, Cook County, Illinois has been looking at how to do transfers on blockchain of land rights and property. I think once governments start looking at land rights as the classic use case for blockchain, then they'll start saying, oh, I can levy taxes against that land using the same blockchain technology, and then move forward. And we actually did some pilots with some governments from with Thomson Reuters around using blockchain for land titling. And then I think you'll see it kind of progress from there. Like I said, probably in land rights, property taxes, probably into highly transactional taxes, sales and use tax, that kind of thing is where I think it might go.
Interesting. And while we're talking about governments, I don't know how well you can speak to this, but I'm interested because I heard, at least early on, one of the areas that people kept pointing to as the possibility of having huge opportunities when it comes to blockchain is voting. You know, experts have been saying for years now that this could make the voting process more streamlined, more secure. Any thoughts there? What do you think about all that?
I think it's a perfect application for blockchain. I mean, the immutability of, you know, the transactions on blockchain, that they can't be corrupted. You can't change it. You know, there's no hanging chads back from the election back in the day. It's a perfect use case for it. This is Keith Nichols. My own personal view of skepticism is politicians will have to enact laws that will allow blockchain voting. And I don't know all the politics that go into why or why not they would want transparency or not want transparency. I mean, I think in a perfect democracy, like, we all want a perfect voting system, which I think blockchain would give us. But I think regulations and politicians are going to be slow in something that directly affects their tenure. Maybe I'm a little personally skeptical about it, but it is the perfect technology for voting.
But I think I kind of share your skepticism there as well. But that might be, we could spend an entire conversation on that. And then, of course, the one that you mentioned early on, there's the audit function. So, you know, our profession has been studying the potential impact of blockchain technology and what it could, you know, the impact that it could have on audit, and an auditor's role, you know, may evolve as a result. What does the future of audit look like to you now that, you know, blockchain is starting to realize some of its potential?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of the areas that's going to be transformed, but it's not, I think there's a lot of, again, back in the hype cycle in the early days, this is one of the things where, well, we don't need auditors anymore. We have perfect records of transactions that can't be corrupted, can't be changed. We have it in real time. We can do continuous audits. But the data is still only as good as a computer can make it. And there still needs to be a high level human interaction to say, well, was that transaction of the management's, you know, expectation really the right value? Was it correctly assigned the value? Was it entered in as a, you know, cost of goods sold? Was it entered in as an expense? Was it, how was it entered in? And was that correct? So I think some of the functions of the audit will still be there, but some of the things that will probably, I won't say go away, but become much faster is just, you know, confirmations of bank accounts, confirmations of low-level transactions, confirmations of, you know, routine transactions. But I think that's a good thing for the profession, as accountants can then start delving into, or auditors can start delving into higher-level questions or data that they couldn't really, the technology didn't allow them to look into, like the value of like a company's data and how to value that. How to do things in the audit of, okay, how much is that worth? And getting rid of or creating a faster cycle or a continuous real-time audit of lower-level transactions allows auditors to focus on the higher-level questions and the more complex things that we don't focus on today. So I thought it's definitely not going to kill the profession. It's actually going to create a need for the audit profession to audit the blockchain itself. I think, you know, that's another area of a future job, is to make sure that there are technologists that are also auditors, to make sure that the machines don't take over the world, that there is going to be an audit function for that as well. But I really think it's just being able to streamline, create efficiencies for auditors, all of the pre-audit work, all of the, you know, standardization of getting things in a standard format will go away, so that they can really focus on what matters, what's the underlying driver of the business, the economic impact of that transaction, what is it really going after. I think these things are what's going to help the profession and get rid of some of the minutiae of the audit process, so they can focus on what's important.
And if the role of auditors is going to be changing as a result of the technology, what kind of skills are the auditor of tomorrow going to need to kind of master? I mean, are they going to be different from what they're currently having to learn?
I mean, I view it being, again, I'm not going to have to focus on the minutiae of verifying transactions and that skill set of, you know, the first year accountant that's just going to have to just pile through the books and bookkeeping. And, you know, some of that's just going to be taken as a given with blockchain, that you have two parties that transacted and both transactions are real, verified through the blockchain. And so the verification process of the audit, the actual of those lower level transactions. But I think it's going to be more focused on the skill sets of, again, why did that economic transaction happen? What's the underlying impact of that transaction? What is the business driver? And to be honest, just because the transaction's on blockchain doesn't mean that it wasn't falsified or created an error or entered wrong. So some of the basic auditing skills are still going to be needed, but I think it's just going to allow the accountants to get into more complex business problems and business transactions. So I think it's just an evolution of the profession to be more trusted business advisors as well.
Interesting. I think this kind of plays into this notion that Barry Melanson has been talking about. Other influential thought leaders in the profession have offered similar thoughts that, you know, the firm of the future, the firm of, you know, the CPA firms in 5 or 10 years will look vastly different than they do today. They'll be doing vastly different things. The skill sets that they'll need will be entirely new skill sets. I mean, when you look at like a CPA firm 10 years down the road, what do you see? What do you think is going to, how is this all going to evolve?
I mean, it is a little hard to predict. I mean, it's quickly, how quickly this is really going to take on, how quickly, you know, not every corporation, not every small business, not everybody is going to adopt blockchain technology. You know, it's not all of a sudden, like I said at the beginning of this, I thought this was going to be the next internet, that just everybody would use it because of every, you know, of the huge benefits of it, and stop, you know, writing handwritten letters and sending emails. Like, I thought that was the impact of this. So I think there's still going to be a need for traditional accounting and traditional auditors. But I think, you know, when I look 10 years into the future, there's going to be a lot more advisory work going on, a lot more impact on what drives the business versus just, you know, counting the auditing the firm and saying, you know, verifying transactions to have a trusted record. The trusted record piece that the audit function provides today, I think, is going to be largely taken up by the blockchain, and having that continuous audit function will give us that, you know, those trusted records. Whereas I think the auditor and CPA firm of the future is going, you know, they are today seen as business, trusted business advisors, but I think it's going to be even more important in the future to help CPAs help analyze business transactions of the future and understand the underlying economic impact, again, of these transactions versus just verifying that they happen and providing that trusted record. It's providing business value beyond the trusted record, I guess, is where I'm trying to get to.
It wasn't too long ago. I think it was an accounting professor from maybe it was NYU, perhaps, if I got that right, kind of famously or infamously said that he thought that audit would be dead in like 10 years as a result of this stuff. And what I'm hearing from you is that it looks like more of an augmentation rather than a replacement.
That's exactly the way I would put it. I would put it as very much as an augmentation versus a replacement. And I think that was part of the fear of the hype cycle of, and maybe some of the evangelists that such as myself would say sensationalized things like audit is going away to make people pay attention. And like I said, I was like, wow, the tax return could go away and that could completely kill my business. but I don't necessarily see that happening, you know, as much anymore. I see it as a business opportunity. It changes my business model in the future, but long into the future. And it's okay, now that I see that, how can I augment it? How can I take advantage of that? How can I make the CPA's firm's use of technology and make them more successful now that we both know that blockchain is coming, that governments may react this way, tax authorities may react this way, start using this technology. How can I augment those things versus just throw up my hands and say this is going away in 10 years? Because it's not. I mean, humans, especially in the audit function, are always going to be necessary. It's just moving up the value chain.
What advice would you give, you know, firm leaders? I mean, you've said it a couple of times during our conversation today about the changing business models and the impact that this is going to have on how firms are run. What kind of advice would you give them as far as, you know, what they need to be doing now to kind of build a firm that's going to be able to take advantage of those opportunities when this stuff is more prevalent?
Mm-hmm. The advice I'd give is look at these companies and do research on these companies that are pure blockchain startups, I guess, if you will. Take a look at these companies, see how they're operating, take a look at their different business models and how they make money to understand what their audit needs might be in the future. And it's sort of that when I say the startups, I think it's that glimpse into what are all these wacky companies trying to do? What different business models are they trying out? And how would that impact the financial statements? It's easy to look at, or, you know, all these big fintechs, all the bank consortiums and everything else, and kind of you need to understand that as maybe sort of table stakes of what's happening at a high level in blockchain. But to really be prepared for the future and to kind of have that breadth and depth necessary to understand the financial statements of the future and the way business is going to be conducted, I would take a look at all of these startups and understand where they're going, what business models they're trying to do, and then really put the lens of, okay, how would I advise them as their CPA firm? And then what does that mean for my skill set? Do I need more technologists in my firm? Do I need cryptocurrency experts? Do I need that type of thing? And I think it's, you know, an interesting ecosystem to take a look at and do some experiments with and try to gain some of them as clients to understand their business as well.
Well, it's going to be fun to see where all this goes. Keith, yeah, Nichols, thanks for joining me. Thanks for the insights. I appreciate you joining me and having the conversation.
Yep. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, that was a good talk. Real good, as a matter of fact. Really interesting stuff there from Keith Nichols. He's the general manager for small to mid-sized firms with Thomson Reuters. You can find out more at thomsonreuters.com. And don't forget, this week's sponsor is the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's Future Ready Learning Framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge along with a strategic skill set. And we're talking about strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPA. Start mastering these future-ready skills now by visiting macpa.org/future-learning-framework. And that is a wrap, folks. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon.